Good, man.
Where's that white tape at? White tape? Mm-hmm. Well, there was some in the vehicle. Go ahead. He'll be there, bro. I mean,
come on in about 9 minutes. Let him know I'm dialing him on Skype. Thanks, sir. Bye-bye.
What's up, man? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Check 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, can you hear me? Check, check, 1, 2. Can you hear me? Hello, hello? Brett, can you hear me? Okay. He's not hearing me for some reason.
Okay. Fiesta forever. There we go. I heard something. Oh, that was that.
Let's try this again.
Okay, in there. You're in there. Good go.
Yeah. Okay, I guess we can unplug these again. Make sure I'm not going nuts. Okay, that's in. Let me try calling it back again.
Lane Kiffin. Who called that, by the way? Yeah.
I would take all the credit there.
But of course, I was going after the season.
All right, can you hear me now? Brett. Hello, hello, hello. All right.
Yeah.
Can you hear me loud and clear? Okay. I don't know what happened. I guess you weren't hearing me.
All right, how you doing there, bud? How was the weekend? Did you go shoot at any balloons this weekend? Oh, did you? Because I was going to say they wouldn't be too hard because from where you're at, you know, that was pretty easy. I saw him Sunday morning, man. That was beautiful. Wow. Yeah. Oh, man.
Mine, too.
Wow. Did you guys get a chance to see him or not?
Yeah, the kids went out and saw him.
That was so cool. Yeah.
All right, so we signed okay?
Okay.
All right, I guess I have you for Friday and Saturday this week.
Oh, baby. The big A-team.
It's big time, man. Back to the 7 o'clock kick, by the way, for Saturday, so. Fantastic, fantastic. All right. By the way, like I told you, Hill's going to be on the first 15 minutes, and then Lindenberger, and then
because
I'd already set it up before we had talked. So
right.
She's supposed to be bringing two girls. I don't know if it's going to be your daughter or somebody else.
Okay. Let me see here. So what happened on our rooms? Did you talk to Jenkinson about that?
Yeah, John said I called him. Everything was supposed to be set. You said, you tell Ross, give you the receipts. We're going to get him the money right back, right. And then I'll take care of the rest. So.
See, now I'm a little bit perturbed by that because now I wish I would have dickered with him and told him, hey, listen, we're only here for 6 hours, man.
Yeah.
So,
I told John that. I said, do they charge us? And he'll see the receipt.
Yeah.
But he went into Ivory and told him. Can you send us program in there, Chief? You the man.
Because that's $280.
Yeah, for 280, six, for
actually,
six, not even 6 hours.
I know it.
I talked to Abbott for a few minutes today.
Okay. How's Coach Abbott doing?
great after that 94-yard touchdown reception that freaking Hammond kid had.
I know it. Right off the bat, well, they held him. Like I said, they held him there at the goal line, and then very next play, bam.
I was watching it on video this morning.
Okay. Did he talk about any offers his son is getting?
Now, I'm going to talk to him. Our pregame is on Wednesday.
Yeah. All of my love. I gave Mike all my love Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
All of my love.
And a little bit on Friday.
In Wichita. Oh, excuse me, that wasn't Saturday night. Excuse me, that was Friday night.
It was.
And Saturday morning.
We got our days all blended together.
Yeah. Yeah, how you doing, Brian?
What's going on, sir?
There you go, bud.
How's everything going? Did you get my email this morning?
Yes.
Okay.
Here, put
He's like, well, you and 10,000 others.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's it going?
Good.
Everybody's been calling me, and there's, like, I talked to the liberal guy, and he goes, God, you're telling me they lost to Great Bend,
yeah,
and then came back and just shot the shit out of it. I said, well, you're going to have to talk to Brian on that one.
But and then Grayson, I actually went on Go Power Cat because they were all talking about how great Delton is, and Grayson outplayed. I understand that he may have a little growing pole. Okay, something.
Oh, I can show you film the week before. It didn't look like he had a growing
okay.
pole.
Because I am so impressed with what's going on with Grayson right now, and he's not, in my opinion, getting the recognition he should be getting.
I don't understand. I wouldn't trade my guy for that guy.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't either. Are you kidding me? Like, I had never seen Grayson in a live game because I'd seen Burnback and I'd seen Curran. So I'd never seen it until this year. And the first game of the season, he rocks back and throws like a 60-yarder that Dustin dropped. It's like, mouth was dropped. I said, all right, we probably got the best quarterback.
And what he does to the I said, I love the bubble routes. I mean, his throws to the bubble routes. But I also like what he does going to the outside. I mean, just his speed. I mean, number one, getting to the corner, able to run right downhill. I mean, if you want to call that downhill now. But another thing that's impressive to me, and you will know more about this also, is his selection right now. Is he
understanding of what he's doing. I mean, I was pulling my hair out last year.
Yeah.
And now it's.
But he's like when he throws the ball, I don't think I've seen, maybe a couple of times, but most of the time they are right on the money, like pinpoint.
The one he threw to Mitchell was about as impressive of ball as I've seen him throw in a year and a half that
and,
I've had.
And great concentration on Mitchell, too, because that was in traffic.
Yes.
And he did a fantastic job pulling that one in.
And I know you were thinking about us when you did that fake punt, direct snap to the punt protector, Tim
that
Tebow.
and that was a tough catch. I don't know if you guys.
I don't know what that kid could have done different.
Yeah.
Wasn't that that was the Riedel kid.
That's a big kid.
It's 6'5 versus 6'5.
But Caleb basically took it right off his helmet. I mean, I had to go up over him a little bit to grab that. I didn't think there was no way. I didn't think there was no way he's going to catch that. And when he turned around with the ball, I thought, holy cow, he caught the dang thing. And then to take it to the house. I mean, that's.
Yeah, against the two guys.
Yeah.
That had a chance to tackle him.
How much time we got there, dude?
Well, I went on Go Power Cat and put Grayson's Temple name out there. I compared to Delton, I said I wasn't impressed with Delton. I understand that's only one ball game.
Right.
But I've seen Grayson Temple play, and I'm very impressed with this young man.
Hey, Brett, how much time we got? All right, sounds good. All right, another edition of the Coach's Show, live from Jack's Sports Grill, alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff. We had a great week, by the way, because a great trip. And you and I had talked about this before we left. We said, all right, here's our goal. We want both teams to win, mm-hmm. But we couldn't have been more proud of the way the team played on Friday. 35-0, and in fact, I think if they played the second half, it might have got worse, who knows. And then the college on Saturday, playing without a couple of key guys, basically resting Akeem Jones for this week.
Plus
a coach that we'll get to later on the Buster's Coaches Show. So all in all, probably the best weekend we could ask for.
Well, you know what was even better? I mean, obviously the score that went up there, but here we were thinking we were leaving Hayes by 11:30 with all the delays and stuff, and then it was kind of nice to see saw the two ADs out in the middle of the field, saw the coaching staff out in the middle of the field, and I saw Ryan and Coach Hill here shake hands, and I thought, well, that's kind of odd. And then they kind of turned, and then Ryan started shaking hands with the officials. And I thought, well, now this is strange. And like I said, it kind of came through the thought process just about the same time PA was announcing that they were going to call the game, and which is all good. Real quick, like I guess I do have one concern, though,
yeah,
about this weekend, what happened this weekend. I'm worried about Coach Hill leaving us and heading to USC. Pat Hayden called you yet by any chance? Or
no, that phone's been silent.
Okay, all right. Well, maybe he's
waiting.
I put
a word in for you.
Yeah, he may be waiting along with you and John Gruden. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one that you could see coming down. I always thought that Lane Kiffin was overrated, a self-promoter, to be truthful.
He lives off his dad's name. I mean,
And that's how he got his first job, was off his dad. And then, well, listen, and there's nothing wrong with that, as long as you're able to produce. But he goes out to USC and – 25-17, something like that. That's not accurate on his, but you got to realize that some of that is the team that was left behind to him by a guy by the name of Pete Carroll.
But don't think that Pete Carroll didn't know what was happening when he left USC.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't have his hands totally clean either. We got a loaded show for you. We're going to get Brian Hill on here in just a second. Also, Crystal Lindenberger will join us a little bit later on in the show, the cross country team. Well, you know, I was told the story this morning, and we'll talk with her a little bit more about that later on this half hour, that the originally the meet was set for later in the day.
1 o'clock.
Yeah, and they got the notice that it was at 8:30, right around 8:28 is when they got the notice, I heard. So we'll talk to her, and a couple of the girls will join us, the second-ranked Lady Buffs joining us later on in the show. But let's bring in Brian Hill. And first off, congratulations. And I know I said it during the post game. I'm going to say it again because I was out there on Thursday, and I think that was key. When you talk, I listen first off, but when you talk, your players listen, and you delivered a very, very stern message. I'm not talking about a normal message. I was talking straight from the heart. You told, hey, you guys want to be here, you're not going to be here. Your guys delivered in a big-time way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I thought the kids, really responded. You know, like I said afterwards, that you know, this is a group of kids. I know what I can say. I think I know how to push their buttons most of the time. And you know, I've always told the kids, and it's not just this year, it's been every year I've been here, that I'm going to be flat honest with you. And sometimes you may not like it, but in the long run, you know, you need to understand it. And, you know, we were at that point where with the amount of seniors that we play with and the amount of embarrassment that we had the week before and how we played, that it was time for them to raise up. You know, I mean, there's only so much a coach can do. They're the ones that have to play. We have to put them in good positions to be able to make plays. And, you know, I just tried to deliver that message and tell how important this game was, because to go 0-2 in the WAC and end up 1-3 at this point, you know, would be extremely disappointing. And so I just tried to lay it on the line to them, make them understand, because the one thing I've said from the beginning, too, with this group, they're very sports educated. They get it. They get those things. And so I just tried to lay it out on the line to them. And, you know, I thought that they came through, obviously, in a big way.
Bixby right now is 3-0, and they beat Springdale, Arkansas, just kind of walked over them in the second half. But, you know, when you go talking about this too, Coach, is that would this group have bought in if it was your first year, second year? I know that you give speeches all the time, you know, trying to get these guys fired up and things. But what you have shown them is that you come into practice, you work hard in the offseason. I don't care if you're a sophomore, junior, or senior. You're going to have a shot to play, and if there's kids that aren't producing and showing that – basically, I'm going to use the term, they think that they've got it made by just being a senior, you have no problem replacing them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no one – I mean, I told them that if you weren't ready to come in and play, if you weren't ready to play and give great effort on Friday, then don't get on the bus. You know, it was basically what I told them that Thursday. And, you know, I just said, hey, look, you've got to be ready to play. We've got to be more physical. We've got to play with more energy. And we got to play better assignment football. And, you know, I thought they did all three. You know, that's really the leadership that has been shown, you know, by these kids. And, you know, I just think that, you know, the chip on our shoulder that they had, that, you know, they wanted to prove, you know, to everybody, and I think to themselves and to their teammates, that what they did last Friday night was, you know, something that they were embarrassed about, and they wanted to do something about it.
That is Brian Hill, head football coach, Garden City, joining us here on the Coach's Show, live from Jack Sports Grill on the corner of Campus and Mary in Garden City. All right, let's get to the first series. They win the toss, they defer, so you guys get the football first. Looks like you guys would stall out. It's 3rd and 10 just across midfield, and then you line up Tim Tebow slash Grayson Temple as your punt protector, and then this happens.
It's a direct snap to the quarterback, and it's Temple throwing near side, and it's caught by Caleb Tramp at the 20, down the near sideline, 10, 5, touchdown. Grayson Temple on a bomb near side to Caleb Tramp.
Now, first of all, it was a genius call, and we're not just saying that to patronize you, but a perfect call on the drive where you guys started. Great field position, obviously, and then you just pulled that one right out of the hat.
Yeah, I mean, it was something that we had put in. When you have someone like Caleb, you draw the attention by the defense, but, and they're going to cover him, and they're going to double him. They got everybody in the secondary's got their eyes on him, and, you know, it was just something that watching film and watching how in the years past that Hayes has played, you know, us in punt coverage that, you know, there's a good chance we could get one-on-one coverage. And that's really all it was I could guarantee myself that they were going to block one guy. They were going to block the gunner with one guy. And it's not their natural corner. It's a young kid that comes in. And I thought, wow, what an opportunity to put our best, biggest receiver on one of their young kids that is not used to playing very often and is probably in there to give some guys rest before they go to offense. And it was something that we put in last week and just gave those guys an opportunity. And, it worked out good. And, you know, I figured that if we do it and make it, it's obviously a big play and a great momentum changer. But even at that case that it's not, that in the long run that, you know, they're not going to want to line up and, you know, rush the punter anymore after we snap it to a quarterback and throw it to a receiver. So.
Well, and it also looked like that you got some confidence maybe in Dusty also on top of that with the punt return. Great punt return, got some downfield blocking, used his great speed. And actually, I thought he read off the blocks very well too as he was able to cut through there. And that really kind of opened things up. You know, you talked about being embarrassed against Great Ben, but you know what? We've been getting back there in the backfield. We just haven't been wrapping up. Boy, we just really dominated.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, to be able to, you know, not many schools that Hayes plays has a guy that can simulate Alex Dilton, and we do. And we put him back there and put Grayson, you know, and ran all those plays. And I thought our kids that gave the look last week of what our defense was going to see was the best we've had all year long. And the defense had a complete understanding. I think it was a great game plan by Coach Dingle and Coach Tone. They had those guys mentally prepared. I think they knew what was coming before Hayes ran it. They were that prepared, and, you know, they just gave an opportunity to make plays, and then they just played extremely hard. And like you said, we just now made tackles. We've been there, just haven't made the tackles, and Friday night we did.
All right, before we go to break, I want to point out one play. I'm going to play another highlight for you. This is kind of going on your point with the defense, how you guys were able to constantly get pressure on Alex Dunn, whether he was trying to run off that read option or if he was just stepping back to pass. Here's the interception by Emilio Porra.
Play clock down at 2. They might have to call a timeout. He just gets it off. Back to pass. 5-step drop. Dalton pumps. Hit as he throws. Unleashes down the middle, and it's picked off. Intercepted at the 33-yard line. 3 Hayes possessions and 3 turnovers. That was Emilio Porra, his second pick of the year.
I mean, Porra, the interception was great, but the fact is it was underthrown because you got pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, we caused him problems all night long, whether it was running, whether he dropped back to pass. And, you know, again, that's just the relentless effort that the defensive line showed. Coach Tone, Coach Dingle, again, you know, had some brilliant, you know, blitz calls that, you know, really found holes to get pressure on him as well. And so, you know, I just think overall, you know, when you put pressure on a quarterback, he makes bad decisions, no matter how old or how experienced that he might be, that, you know, you got an opportunity. And to get 3 straight turnovers and to turn them into 21 points, you know, was, you know, we've been getting turnovers but not turning them into points. And, you know, everything kind of came together Friday night for us.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, more with Coach Hill coming up. We look forward now to the Liberal matchup, which is coming up Friday night right here on KWKR. You got a Liberal team coming off a huge win on the road in a weather-delayed game at Dodge City. And you have the Buffaloes now at 2-2 coming off their 35-0 romp over Hayes. That's next on the Coach's Show. All right, 2 minutes here. You're the man.
Thank you.
So what's the story behind the onside kick deal with Liberal? Is it just – do we know? I mean, is it just shenanigans or
– No, it's part
of
their
gamesmanship
game plan. I was so disappointed last year when we were drilling them last year and they were doing the onside kick against our twos and our threes. And I think it was Hayes that we were talking about, that one of the Hayes guys. Oh, it was Dustin Armbruster. And he said they did the same thing to them last year when they were beating them bad, and then, you know, they just continue to do this and keep their ones in there.
I mean, I don't know. It's kind of like watching an 8-year-old play Madden.
Yeah.
And go
yeah.
for it on every fourth yeah. down.
Fourth and 20.
Onside and, you know, not even care because they don't even understand. But they have an understanding, and that's what they want to do. We're going to spend some time recovering kicks.
And setting up great field position.
If you tell me every time they kick off we get the ball in the 50,
yeah.
sign me up.
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, hey, that's what Hayes lived on. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the Madden analogy. That's perfect. Fourth and 21. And Madden's even screaming at you, don't go for it. Yeah.
Not a great call here.
Ah, good stuff.
Do you double team a guy like Hammond?
Yeah, you almost have to.
Yeah.
I mean,
so you're just going
to
roll safety?
Pay attention to him. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You have to. I mean, because you got to make those other guys beat you. Mm-hmm. He's going to catch him.
Right, here we go,
do
guys.
Every week they catch. He catches him.
All right, back at the Coach's Show live from Jack's Sports Grill alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff, and, of course, it is Monday, so it's $1.50 Taco Night Domestics as well. So that's right here at Jack's Sports Grill. We are being joined right now by Buffalo's head coach, Brian Hill. Coming up here in a few minutes, Crystal Lindenberger will join us here on the show, the cross-country coach, and they're coming off an eighth-place finish at Rimrock in Lawrence, which is also the site of the state cross-country meet, which is coming up, I think, in like less than a month, so it's a pretty quick turnaround there. So we'll talk with her and a couple of her runners coming up here in just a few minutes. But as we look forward now to Liberal, and I think this is Liberal, I mean, we're watching him on film, and we talked about this during the postgame show. It's onside kick, onside kick. Now, you made a great point to me. I said it's going to be 13,000 onside kicks. Well, if there's 13,000 onside kicks, we're going the wrong way, obviously, so we don't want that. But it's a Liberal team. They got the Abbott kid at quarterback. They got Hammond, who had an impressive 95-yard touchdown reception in the come-from-behind win over Dodge. This team is loaded when it comes to offense. Defense, maybe not as talented as they are on the offensive side of the ball, but you guys got your hands full.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to give you – they give you, you know, a ton of different looks. They move – they do a good job of moving Hammond around in the formation so that he's not stagnant. He's tough to find, and they do different things with him when they move him around. And, I mean, he's just a great athlete. And, you know, you've got to pay attention to where he's lined up every time. And, you know, probably more than one guy is going to have to be in charge of, you know, tracking him through the whole game. And, you know, you just hope that he's going to make plays. I mean, we've watched everybody's done around about the same thing. They put two guys on him. And, he had two guys on him when he caught the 95-yard touchdown. That sounds silly. But there was two guys on him and just didn't make a play. So, you know, it's going to be the same song, same dance for us. We've got to be out there ready to make a play and just realize that he's going to make some plays. He's that good a player.
These two guys, you're going to face good quarterbacks. We talked about this. You know, that to me, I say this over and over again, but it's the year of the quarterback in the WAC, in my opinion. But the thing is, though, that you've already faced some very talented quarterbacks as you come down the line. You still got some great ones to face yet. Thing is, Abbott is a big kid, and you know that Dad being the coach, they're going to throw a lot. And this is my opinion. I'll say this, and I'll back it up, but I felt like this from last year to this year with Dad is that Dad is trying to get him a nice D1 contract somewhere. So to play, because, like I said, he's going to throw the ball a lot. What can you expect? Because this guy will run the ball too, averaging about 115, 118 yards per game also on top of what he throws.
Yeah, I mean, and he's a big kid. He's a load. He's 235 pounds, and so he's not easy. I mean, it's a fullback basically playing quarterback, and so when he does run it, you know, he's continually, you know, he can wear you down just like any, you know, old-school I-back used to, and, you know, we've got to be ready. I mean, they pose the threat of run and pass, and, you know, they run a bunch of plays, and, you know, that's kind of been what we've wanted to do. I mean, if you come to the game, you might want to bring a sack lunch. You know, most of the games they play in, you know, there's almost 200 snaps in the course of the game. And so, you know, it's something that we've got to be on top of our game. We can't turn the ball over to them and give them easy opportunities to score, which I think played a key role last Friday as well. You know, we didn't turn the ball over, and, you know, every time, I think, but one time they had, every time they started a drive, they had 80 yards to go last Friday. So, you know, that's something that when you have to go that far, it's very difficult to do, and we need to do the same thing this Friday.
Weather looks to be very good for Friday night. We ought to have a great contingency down there also.
Yeah, and that's, boy, I tell you, boy, you guys put, first of all, with the threat of the rain and everything else, all the other things that were going on Friday night, it was a great performance. And really looking at Liberal, even before we get you out of here, it's a team that hasn't won a WAC game until Friday since 2005. So they're coming. This is like an emotional high for them. They didn't know what it felt like to win a conference game. This is probably their best team that they've had in 8 years. They haven't been very good, really, if you think about it, since Cornelson left. So this is a team that offensively, we talked about that, but emotionally riding a pretty big high coming in.
Well, I think you're going to find out which team can handle success. You know, we showed our hand 2 weeks ago that we couldn't do it. And now they're going to have to basically do the same kind of thing. And here we are again after a big win, you know, probably a score that not many people expected. And, you know, everybody telling again how great we are and, you know, patting the kids on the back for a job well done, which is well deserved. But at the same time, you know, that was my message to the kids this afternoon was, you know, we're going to find out who can still carry that chip on the shoulder and who's not satisfied is really what's going to come down on Friday night, because you have two teams coming off of big victories in their own sense. And now, you know, what are you going to do between Monday and Friday to give yourself another chance to win on Friday night?
Well, Coach, congratulations on the big win. We will see you on Friday night.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Go. Brian Hill right here on the Coach's Show. Here's the stat before we go. There has not been a road team a home team to win in the Western Athletic Conference in a conference game so far this season. No home team has won a conference game thus far. All right, coming up next, we switch gears. Football to cross country. The second-ranked Lady Buffs, also the boys finishing at least in the top 20, coming up on that race in Rimrock at Lawrence on Saturday. So we will talk with Coach Lindenberger coming up. That is on the other side, live on the Coach's Show, live from Jack Sports Grill. All right, just do a 60 here. How you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
Doing all right. Nice to finally meet you in person.
Yeah, you too.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say I bug her all week, so.
That's all right. You're not bugging me.
Usually,
I'm just idle on the bus. So.
When do you take off for Fayetteville?
Friday at 7 a.m.
All right, and it's going straight through.
Yes.
Where are you staying at?
Well, we'll stop and eat lunch.
Okay. Right.
We are staying in Fayetteville at a Best Western Windsor Suites.
Okay.
There you go.
Trish had a hard time finding a room down there. She's at the Econo Lodge.
Oh, no. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, it's not game weekend because they told there's no football.
Right.
Well,
I actually looked it up, but with all these teams coming in, they're guessing 48 to 5,000 runners.
Yes.
Alone.
I think we're coming back. Here we go. All right, back at the Coach's Show, live from Jack's Sports Grill, alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pitlesoff. I get a reminder, it is Monday. That means it's $1.50 taco night, so come on down and see us on the corner of campus and Mary in Garden City. We have the woman that is in charge of the second ranked on the girls' side, the Lady Buffs, the cross-country team, cross-country coach, Crystal Lindenberger, joining us here on the Coach's Show. Well, welcome in, first off.
Thank you.
I want to get to this what happened, because you can explain it better than I've heard, like three different versions of what happened on Saturday. So, you guys finished eighth, but there was like 27 teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get to Lawrence Free State here in just a second. But what actually – you guys were supposed to race later in the day, and you guys – it was an 8:30 early meet, and you got the message at like 8:27 with 48 seconds.
Well, we actually had taken an eighth girl, and she was – we have two freshman girls that are running really well, and we didn't feel right just sending one of them. So we tried to get her into one of the JV races when we were successful. So we had Hannah Schultz running, and her race was supposed to be at 9. And then our varsity boys were to run at 11, and then our varsity girls at 1. Well, what happened was we didn't go. We had just gotten home from Canyon City on Thursday. We got home late, so we decided to leave a little later in the afternoon and not worry about going to the course, because we would have plenty of time before those races to get the course walked and get everybody in, you know, familiar with what was going to happen that day. So I guess that was a bad decision on my part because we didn't get the message as far as the time change. I think that's how a lot of the coaches found out about it. There was an email sent out. I talked to the KU, the lady that was in charge of that, and she actually emailed me back today, and she said, you're right, you didn't get the email. So
wow.
I guess I felt really bad because I thought I had missed it somewhere. You know, email.
Right.
So, but I just knew. I mean, I went through everything. I went through my trash, went through my junk mail. I mean, I was looking for that message everywhere, and it was not to be found. So, yeah, we found out it actually at about we were going to meet at 7 for breakfast and eat real quick and try to be on the road by about 7:15, 7:20 for Hannah. So we got down to eat breakfast at about 6:45, and one of the Great Bend coach caught Coach Augerman and said, hey, did you get the message? And
wow.
So that's how we found out. We found out about 6:45 and kind of dropped on us, and so we hurriedly ate and got on the bus, and the girls had about 30 minutes of prep time once we finally got there, and they jumped off the bus at the entrance gate, and the rest of us went on and parked the bus so we'd know where the bus was, and from there it just, you know, it was just pretty I think the adrenaline was flowing pretty rapidly before they ever stepped to the line. They were jittery.
Yeah.
I mean, you could watch them at the line, and they just kept, you know, they were, before the gun went off, between the time that he said runner set and the gun, they were, I mean, if you watched them, just pulsating.
Where were they lined up at? Because, you know, to me, if you're too far to the east on the inside, you're in trouble unless you've got great spinning. But if you're on the outside, you're in great shape because this is basically, is it 300 yards uphill and then all of a sudden a big left turn that will hook you if you're not.
Right, and we've been in both places, and neither time has it worked out real well for us. I think you're actually a little bit better off being on the outside edge than the inside edge. But we were dead center this time, so they headed straight for the guy with the gun, and but we were quick enough out. I mean, those girls are experienced enough, and we got out, and I don't think they had any trouble getting out. It was.
That is Crystal Lindenberger joining us here on the Coach's Show live from Jack's Sports Grill on the corner of Campus and Mary here in Garden City alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff. She is the head cross country coach, and the girls finishing eighth, the boys finishing 22nd, 23rd.
Yes.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, 34 teams, I think, on the boys' side.
Okay. And just from the description of these kids, because it wasn't the greatest of conditions. It's a hard course, obviously, raining, kids with mud all over them, even the girls, I guess, everybody fell at some point into the lovely mud ponds that were all over. So that was a challenge in itself.
Yeah, it was just a challenge to stay upright, and let alone the course is challenging enough, but you get it wet and mushy, and after, you know, the first two or three races, boy, it's really soggy, and it's just really slick. And I think our boys just had a – they were, you know, you were lucky in the boys' race if you could stay upright, I think, and not go down at all. I think pretty much everybody probably had at least one point where they were down and had to, you know, pull themselves back up. But we managed to run really well.
They're all dripping in mud.
Did Lawrence Free State girls kind of surprise you a little bit? Olathe Issa wasn't there. They're the team that's ahead of you by basically about 4 points or so in the rankings. Mays was there, but Garden City was able to handle Mays. But really, the Free State girls kind of surprised me.
Yeah, the Free State girls kind of surprised us a little bit, too. I think they have a couple of freshmen that are running real well, and they have a sophomore that came back and who's running real well. So, you know, Coach Augerman and I looked at it best we could, and I think if we break it down, we're not really that far behind them. I think it's going to come again for us. The key is going to be our 4 and 5, I think, again, down the stretch, because I think that's kind of where we can maybe outrun them a little bit or at least make up a little bit of what they have.
Before we get you out of here, we have a couple of your runners, but just give us a preview. You guys head to Arkansas this week, so a big meet over there. And, look, you got less than a month, and it's already time for the state meet. So what do you want to see specifically? We'll start with the girls and then the boys. I know you said, obviously, the improvement that you've seen over the first couple of meets.
Yeah, well, and we have some new kids in there. Last year, our boys' side was all seniors, and they all graduated, so it's kind of, you know, it's new to all of them as far as running varsity, and I think they're just trying to find out where they fit in and where they need to be at in the race. Our two freshman boys have ran awesomely well, great leaders for us. So, and I think going to Arkansas, it's going to be new for everyone. We've not ran there before, and I think mainly we just, you know, we've been talking to them, we just got to get in there and compete. We just got to compete, and if we continue to compete, then, you know, come state, when we line up on that line, we're going to feel pretty good about ourselves and where we're at, so.
Well, Coach, we definitely appreciate you coming in. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There you go. That is Crystal Lindenberger joining us here on the show. When we come back, we have a couple of the runners that will join us here on the Coach's Show live from Jack's Sports Grill on KWKR. All right, just do a 60 here, my friend. Just a 60. You the man. All right. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
I can.
I got to get familiar with names here, so. Okay. Chelsea, what's the last name?
Jackson.
Okay. And?
Marcus Tula.
How do you spell your last name?
T-U-L-A.
But it's pronounced Tua?
Tula.
Tula, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Chelsea, you're what class are you? You seen?
I'm a senior.
Senior, okay. What class are you?
Freshman.
Freshman, okay. Here we go. All right, back at the Coach's Show, live from Jack's Sports Grill, alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosov. We got a few minutes left, so we've been we switched from football to cross country. We have a couple of the runners, Chelsea Jackson, who's a senior, and Marcus Tula, who's a freshman. We'll start with Chelsea on the girls' side. We were talking to your coach, and it wasn't necessarily the greatest conditions that you guys raced in on Saturday, and the fact that you guys got a late message that the race was going to be earlier than expected. So with all those parameters that came into play, you guys still finished with a top 10 finish.
I think we ran well. I think we handled the situation well. We tried to stay calm, and it wasn't times-wise, it wasn't quite what we wanted, but we went for it, and we did the best that we could. We competed.
When it comes down to it, and you know, you're kind of in a rush at that point, does that change it? I mean, like your coach was kind of describing it, it was kind of like the almost like the false start, like you guys were kind of antsy to get going. How did that change it, the fact that you guys were a little bit rushed?
I think adrenaline-wise, our adrenaline was going from the moment we found out that the race was changed, which is taking energy from your body. And while we're rushing around, trying to get ready, thinking about it, it kind of puts you in a panic, which does affect your race a little bit.
All right, you guys are ranked second in the state. There's one team obviously in front of you, and then Lawrence Free State, which I've heard looked really, really good in the race on Saturday. But now you guys go to Fayetteville, you guys go to Arkansas on Saturday. What do you want to see from yourself? What do you want to see from this team on Saturday? And then you guys only a month right now until you guys go for your state meet.
We don't really know what Arkansas will hold because we've never been there, and it's a 5K. So I think we just need to work on packing, running as a team, and getting the best time that we can, because we don't usually run 5Ks. And it'll almost be nice to not go in there not knowing. It'll be a new experience.
Okay, a little bit of the unknown. Well, Chelsea, we appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, let's get to Marcus Tula. He's a freshman on the boys' side. And, you know, every time I talk to your coach, it's always about improvement and how you guys are improving. And I know it was like a 22nd finish that you guys had out of 34 teams on Saturday. So I'm going to ask you basically the same thing. When you heard of the time change and the weather conditions, I heard everyone fell into a mud puddle at some point during this race. So all those conditions, how are you guys able to even get going?
We just tried to stay as confident as we could and prepare ourselves for the race. We knew this was going to be a big meet for us, probably one of the biggest. So we had to focus more and prepare ourselves.
When you know that you're going to be back there really in a month, I mean, that's where the final meet will be. Knowing that you've already run on this course, does that help you guys out a little bit moving forward?
Yeah, I think it will help us out a lot because we'll know what to expect and prepare ourselves a little better and hopefully have better weather conditions.
Yeah, amen to that. All right, before we let you go, and that is Marcus Tula. He's a freshman. He's on the boys' cross-country team. You guys going to the race coming up on Saturday, the one in Arkansas. And then, as I mentioned, really about a month away, and you guys are it's the state meet. So the improvements along the way that you guys have seen, what do you want to see specifically from the boys' team moving forward?
I just want us to see us to compete at our best level, just give all we got. We pretty much started over as a team on the boys' side. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty young group. Pretty young group. Well, guys, like I said, I appreciate you coming on. That is Chelsea Jackson. She's a senior on the girls' side, and then Marcus Tula on the freshman side. Good luck, guys.
Thanks.
It's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Buffalo's Coaches Show right here on KWKR. If you tune over to AM 1030 KBUF here in just a minute or so, we will have the Buster Coaches Show for you. And just a reminder, coming up Friday night, we'll be at in Liberal. It'll be Liberal and Garden City, pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7 o'clock. We'll have it for you right here on KWKO. All right, I'll call you back. Yeah, bye-bye. Oh, you could? Okay, that's fine. I was going to ask. We saw the – that's fine. The Twin or the – the Oklahoma State deal.
With the sanctions that they've